time.
Pig legend has it that the first customer to walk through the door was David Ryan. And then David became an employee of the Bourgeois Pig at one point, and we are here with David Ryan now. Is the legend true?
That is indeed the legend. At the time...
But is it true?
That's the legend. Uh-huh. It is true. Me and my friend Jill Franklin, who no longer lives in town, we were in grad school together. We were both smokers. At the time, there were no coffee shops where you could smoke in Lawrence, Kansas. You had Primatas and various other places, all of which were non-smoking. Before the Pig opened, I walked by, you know, just walking around downtown, and saw that they were doing things here. It used to be, obviously, Papakino's, and then it was some other, like, import-export store, like African goods, something like that. So I walked by and saw that they were constructing something, and more importantly, I saw that the people inside were smoking cigarettes. So, I think Dave? Chalice? Yeah, I think he was smoking. One of the heroes of the Bourgeois Pig was inside constructing it, and they were smoking. So I asked them, is this going to be a smoking coffee shop? And they said, yes, indeed it was. And I told them they would see me every day. So, and then we found out when it was open. I think the original opening was like a private party for maybe the police or something like that. Something strange. You should ask Charlie about it. But when they were first open, Jill Franklin and I then came in, and that's that.
So, and then you started working here.
I worked here then the summer of their first year. They opened in July, and so the next summer I worked here.
And how was it?
It was great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mornings on the weekend are a wonderful time at the Bourgeois Pig.
Everybody's hungover.
Everybody's hungover, and there were some old characters you no longer see anymore. Some characters you still see, some fine people like Molly Murphy, who you'll probably talk with. But some great old characters, Vic the Barbarian, other people I forget.
Yeah, rattle
now.
Off a few of these.
Well, the only name I remember is Vic the Barbarian.
What about memorable people who've worked here?
Memorable people who've worked here. A guy named Cyrus was a legend. He was wonderful. Brian Blankenship, the manager for a while. Great guy. We had some very fun times. Who else?
And you check into the Pig daily.
For the most part, I check into the Pig daily, yeah.
What is it about the Pig that grabs you so?
Absolutely the people.
Welcome back to Street Level. Sitting here with Charlie Whitman and Ryan Pope.
Hello.
And it's the changing of the guard. Charlie and his partner Russell Livingston have sold the Pig to Ryan and his partners. Who are your partners?
My brother Rob and Ed Rose.
Now, first of all, we're going to do a little history of the Bourgeois Pig, which I believe was born in July of 1973.
No, 94.
94.
Yes.
And it was supposed to be, the original concept was a Viennese coffee house?
The original concept was a salad bar.
And how did we get to this?
Well, we just moved along.
We'll talk about it. Tell us how it started out.
Well, it started largely with the space. And was available before this. It was Papakino's.
Huh?
And one of my then partners rented the space in a very rough state, and the business concept was arose because there was an empty space. So we cast around looking for ideas to what to do in this space, hence salad bar. At that time, there was a lot of discussion. I think there was... it was the early days for Starbucks, and there was a great deal of discussion about coffee, and Charlie Oldfather had just started to develop the south end of, or the north end of Massachusetts Street. As all the world knows, a coffee shop was part of that development, Primitaza. I've said frequently, and I will say now, that Lawrence owes a great deal to Oldfather and his development of the entertainment venue down there, and for providing seed money and interest for both the Free State and I don't know whether he provided seed money for Free State, but he provided interest in that end of the the street, and also interest for Primitaza as well. And both of those groups, both of those businesses, had the effect of had a profound effect on the palate of Douglas County, the city, the palate, the general palate of the city of Lawrence. And so we had an example to look to in the coffee end of things, especially coffee end of things. So we were looking for something you could do in a relatively small space. Since it's a small space, you can only really expand on time, on the timeline. Mm-hmm. And I had been to Europe on a number of occasions and enjoyed the European cafe concept, which usually comes with a great deal more pastry than was right. possible in this in this space. But certainly it was possible to do coffee and alcohol, and so we did.
And it was the first of its kind, right? Coffee and alcohol combined in downtown?
As far as I know. Yeah. Well, I know that was the first of it here. And probably the first regionally.
But you used to gussy it up a lot. You used to use tablecloths in the early days, and right?
Well, yes, we used tablecloths. The idea was to be a high-end operation right. from the beginning.
At what point did it start to become this... Well, it's always been a somewhat bohemian place. It's always attracted a lot of
artists. It's always been the same. It opened the way it is now.
Same thing.
It's never changed. You mean academic?
Yeah.
Why
would they pick the pig?
Oh, well, I suppose because people were friendly to them, I guess. I mean, if you start that kind of thing, if you start being friendly to those kinds of people, then they'll continue to come, I guess. I don't think it was any conspiracy. It had to do with... it also had something, I suppose, to do with the way coffee shops have always worked. I mean, coffee shops have always been revolutionary, as everyone knows, and it's not new news. The third space concept was also at work here, and people who wanted to exchange ideas and not be interfered with by other priorities were able to come here and do that.
Kim Calloway has worked at the Bourgeois Pig for 5.5 years.
Hi. What do I say?
Kim, is the Pig a hipster hangout?
Sometimes.
What is a hipster?
A well-dressed person.
What is it about the Bourgeois Pig that keeps you here as long as you've been here?
I like all of it. I like the clientele, my coworkers, and the management, and the scene, if you will.
The scene. Do you really believe that Lawrence, that the Pig is a cultural hub for Lawrence?
Sure, I really can't explain it, though. But yeah.
What kind of people hang out here?
Well, it varies the time of day. It's true.
Yes, but generally,
Do you have a lot of artistic people, a lot of creative people here? Or,
I would say so. Like, maybe more during the day, people working on stuff, their artistic endeavors, and more drinking in the evening, which is artistic as well.
Which is artistic as well?
Yeah.
Do you have any memorable pig moments?
I can't remember most of them, but yeah.
Why can't you remember?
Because I was drinking.
And Ryan and Rob and Ed, who have been very quietly and carefully building a rock and roll empire here in town, purchasing the Black Lodge Studio, and then Blue Collar Distro, which makes all of your t-shirts and buttons and posters for the bands, and now a bar for the bands to come and drink in. What motivated you to buy this place?
Well, I've been coming here, I guess, 6 years. And I used to live right down the street, 9th in New York, and this is where I had the best conversations. I got to meet the most interesting people, had the best drinks in town. I always thought that was a big plus. And not to mention the staff was, they were all my friends. Mm-hmm. You know, we were all buddies. So that made it appealing. And we'd always talked about, wouldn't it be great to someday own a place like this? And then it came up that this place was the one that could have been ours, and, you know, it happened. Here we are.
Any plans?
Plans with this place. Mm-hmm. You know, the plans with this place are to let it be what it is and stick to it. And the only major plans were to maybe try to get some more events happening here, which basically just means getting more people in the door and more people to try to get turned on to this place, because I do believe there's a lot of people who maybe know about this place, but they haven't ever been here, and they would like it if they did come here.
Where's the motherfucking cheese go at?
I don't know.
Where's the motherfucking cheese go at?
I don't know. Motherfucking. I don't know.
Where's the motherfucking cheese go
at? I don't know.
Bitch, where the motherfucking cheese at?
I don't know.
Motherfucker.
I don't know.
Where the motherfucking cheese
going? Writer Joel Mathis can occasionally be seen sitting out in front of the pig reading a book. What is it about the pig that pulls you here, Joel?
Well, I mean, on one level, it's just the drinks. I like being able to get coffee and whiskey both at the same time. But there's also, I mean, just I love the people here, actually. I mean, you can pretty easily find a really good, intelligent conversation. You can very often find provocative art on the walls, you know, especially when Wayne props us around. You know, usually if he's sacrificing a Santa Claus or an Easter Bunny to some pagan god. So, you know, it's all those things. It's to me, it's kind of one of the best things about Lawrence, that it distills everything that I like about Lawrence, which is, you know, just this concentration of smart people and art or creative people, and people like to drink coffee and alcohol, so those are the great things.
Robert Dodson has been coming to the Bourgeois Pig for 3 years. What is it about the pig that you like, Robert?
I like the bartenders, the good service,
yeah,
the coffee they serve, the good brands of coffee they serve.
Who's one of your favorite bartenders or baristas?
All of them.
All of them?
Right. You're my favorite, Ken. You want me to say
that. Dustin Kinsey has been managing the Bourgeois Pig for the past 2 years, as well as juggling a career with two bands, the New Amsterdams and the White Whale. Dusty, what do you think of this change of ownership at the Pig?
I don't think there should be any hitches in the road, per se. We'd like to think of the Pig like a city-state or some other institution akin to that, and it's the laws that rule the Pig, not the people. And hopefully, it's our duty to uphold the laws and keep it civilized.
Sounds rather strict.
Well, it's not that strict, but it's the ideal. It's the city on the hill. That's what we're searching for, and it doesn't matter who the players are.
What is it you think about the Pig? I mean, it is kind of a hub for creative people. What is it about the Pig that draws them here?
Could be all the... You can never tell whether it's a homeless or a hipster passed out front.
I'll tell you what, I'm gonna take a shot of whiskey.
I think your birthday party last year was probably the Christmas party. Let's call it the Christmas party then. Okay. Yeah. Last year was probably an interesting example of what you could do if you were using probably small single or duo groups giving single members of larger groups an opportunity to showcase their talents acoustically. And do sort of experimental things. We've had a couple of poetry slams in here, or just poetry readings. I think it's pretty apt for that.
Then there've been the regular annual traditions, Oktoberfest.
Well, yes, we try to do something. We've in the past we've tried to do a lot of holiday theme things because it gave us focus. As the seasons went by, and it gave some people something to look forward to, and it gave us an opportunity to give stuff back to people. What our plan was is that most of the stuff would be free, and it was to give back to the customers on a regular basis, which I thought appropriate and fun, more to the point. Everybody seemed to enjoy. It's a lot of trouble being in one of these businesses. There's no question about that. The only real payback on an emotional level is if you have some fun doing it, and attract the kind of people that you want to be around. To repeat myself endlessly again, it's a small space. It's a very, very small space. You can't avoid bumping into people.
What is the seating capacity or the capacity in this place?
Well, not counting the outside spaces, it's under 50.
Under 50 indoors. Yeah, small place. So now what for you? I mean, you've always been active. You're a practicing attorney. You've always been active in community theater or local theater.
Well, I'm still practicing. I'm directing a play. I'm directing... just a second at the community theater as we speak, and that's where I'm headed to when I leave here. So that we go up in 2 weeks. So that's something I do on a regular basis.
After 13 years, you're a huge presence in this place. How are you feeling about it?
Well, I don't know about that. I wouldn't regard myself as a huge presence. Most people come to a place like this with the intention of making it their own, and I think for the most part they do. Again, it has to do with the size of the place. I mean, if you want to come here, Ryan said something which I thought was sort of interesting, and that is that you can never underestimate the impact that the staff has in a spot like this on the kind of people you get and their behavior when they're here, and their happiness in being in it. And we've been very, very lucky. We've had wonderful people work here, and to some extent, you asked earlier, well, how come there were people who were who were academic. And, well, we had at one point, as you know, Brian Blankenship was a manager here. And, of course, he was in a master's program in English. And so as a consequence of which, for a period of time, half the people from the medieval history department came down here. This was a number of years ago. And then we had a number of people who worked here, just as fate would have it, from the theater department. And the consequence of which is, during that period of time, every actor in the city was here every day. And that sort of thing comes and goes. It just, as I said, really depends upon the staff. So I don't think it has to do with me. I think it has to do with who you hire. Now, I'm real happy with that, if that's what you mean. That is to say, if I thought choices were made that were appropriate, both for the customers and myself, the thing I think I would be proud of particularly is that
the staff.
Is the staff.
Gil Phillips has been coming to the Pig since the first year they opened. Gil, surely you have a memorable character or a memorable story about the Bourgeois Pig.
Patrick Quinn, always a source for crossword answers, since it's a home of crossword puzzle workers.
It's the home of a lot of crosswords down here?
Yeah. The employees and the customers come in. Anything you want to know about American movies, Patrick's the answer. He's a great source. Knows all kinds of stories about politics.
Any outrageous moments that you've witnessed here at the Pig?
I really don't want to go into that.
Chris Lazzarino has been coming to the Pig for 12 years. Chris, any memorable Pig stories or Pig characters to talk about?
Wow, there's all kinds of Pig characters all the time. I think the number one Pig character is Patrick Quinn, who we just got back to town from Colorado, and he's really what brought me down here when I was working on some writing projects with him, and got to know him and the Pig at the same time, yeah. And my life has been in the toilet ever since.
Is this a hangout for bohemians and creative types?
Yeah, you know, I think that's overdone a little bit. I think that does exist, but it's also a lot of business people and just regular folks who enjoy a good cup of coffee or a nice cocktail.
Do you like the coffee at the Pig?
I love the coffee at the Pig. I really enjoy it. They do a good job with it. I enjoy the taste of their coffee, and they always have a nice selection.
Do you have any memorable Pig moments? Anything happened here that was a landmark occasion in your life?
I want to say, you know, one of the comments that I would have is Ryan bought the Pig, right?
Ryan, Rob, and Ed Rose.
Okay. You know, the thought occurred to me, and I was having this conversation with our mayor when I was getting my hair cut. It's nice to see young people buying a business downtown. You don't see much of that. We're pricing young people out of the market. The price of failure is too steep. So I think when the discussion of the whole business environment gets brought up down here, nobody brings up the fact that it's almost impossible for young people to get involved here. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to see Ryan and his crew get involved here, and maybe they can encourage other young people to do the same thing.
And now you. How are you, Ryan, going to handle the Black Lodge, Blue Collar, the Pig? I mean, you're already a busy guy. And you're still playing. You're still doing session drum work. Full plate.
Well, hopefully one day at a time, I guess. You know, I mean, it's going to be overwhelming. I already know that. I've already experienced it this past week, but also it's just kind of...
Your frog is going on.
My frog. I mean, the beginning's always, I think, the setup and the initial getting your feet wet is the hard part. Well, hopefully I'm not going to be doing it alone, so that's going to help out a lot. Fortunately, you know, the previous owners have done a great job of setting everything up, so it's really just walk in and let things continue to roll out as they were and as they are going to be. If I were to, I would never in a million years go and try to start a new bar or a new coffee shop or any of that, only because I wouldn't be able to invest that much time and effort into it. This is a little bit of a different situation.
Well, it's kind of a big responsibility because this place is a cultural hub of downtown Lawrence. So tampering with the Pig,
you can get a lot of feedback about that. I mean, there'll be a lot of people who are going to tell. I've already experienced it, and it's never going to end. People telling you how to do your job, people telling you what you're doing right, what you're doing wrong. That's fine. you know, I'll always listen. I'll always take suggestions. Doesn't mean you have to do anything with any of this. I mean, keeping everyone happy is impossible.
Right.
I've given that up a long time ago. The hardest thing for me with in this whole thing was deciding I wanted to stay in Lawrence, Kansas. That, because, you know, I've got other businesses here, and that's fine, and that's great. But this is kind of the, you're here for a while. You're not going anywhere.
Have you seen the little piggies crawling in the dirt? And for all the little piggies, life is getting worse. Always having dirt to play around in. Starched white shed, you will find bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean sheds to play around with. In the skies with all the packing, they don't go.
Julia Peterson has been coming to the pig for about 5 years, she says. Julia, no one will give me a good, juicy bourgeois pig story. Do you have anything?
Like a gossip?
All right.
Or can you pause it for me to think? Wasn't that Aaron Clark? No, it wasn't Aaron Clark. I'm thinking that I'm going to blame the 7 stitches I got in my chin on Aaron Clark. For feeding me too much chartreuse one night, and I went home.
That has to be Aaron Clark.
Yeah, and I went home and fell down the stairs, busted my chin open at 3 o'clock in the morning. I think it was Aaron Clark. No one likes to see people more happy than Aaron Clark.
And no one likes to ply chartreuse to people more than Aaron
Clark. Nobody more than Aaron Clark. Yeah, I think I could hold him responsible for that.
Molly Murphy's been coming to the pig for over 10 years. Surely, Molly, you have a good bourgeois pig story to tell.
A good bourgeois pig story to tell. Probably most of my bourgeois pig stories shouldn't be told.
Well.
It's probably the beginning to lots of horrendous adventures.
What happens at the pig stays at the pig?
Something like that.
All right, what about some memorable pig characters?
Memorable pig characters. I think my favorite was always Byron, who is sadly not with us anymore. And I'm sure that lots of people have mentioned Byron because he always had a story that nobody could ever even imagine coming up with. And just history that none of us had ever experienced that he was always willing to share. And I think I met Byron down here probably when I was headed to high school in the morning early, when I believe Jerry was working the mornings. That was 12 years ago. I don't even remember his last name.
What about memorable people who've worked at the pig?
Memorable people who've worked at the pig. Well, I think Aaron Clark, when he leaves, will be memorable, but Cyrus would be a memorable party because he was always up to something a little shady.
What do you think of the new owners? Does it seem like a righteous handoff?
It is. I like the Pope boys a lot, and I think they're a good new generation who kind of respects and likes the way the pig is and the atmosphere of it. So I think they will be... they'll be a good new generation.
And now here is Patrick Quinn, who has been coming to the pig. You were, what, the third person in the door at the Bourgeois Pig?
So the legend says.
Is it true?
It's the legend.
Here we go again. And you were going to tell me something about the opening night of the Bourgeois Pig.
Only that the first art show, there's always a artist hanging at the pig, typically for a month, and the first artist to hang at the pig was William Burroughs, who graced the bar with a very nice show that hung for 5 or 6 weeks, I think. And I don't recall that they sold anything, but it was very nice, and it sort of gave the place a certain cachet that has carried over through the years.
Any, I'm sure there are many, memorable characters from the Pig?
The first general manager was a guy named Brian Blankenship, and Brian is now, open quote, working, close quote, for Microsoft with a chip in his brain. But when he was a... Pardon me? Oh, Blankenship's unemployed again? He's also playing poker online. Brian was a betting man, and on one occasion, we can't recall the particulars, Brian lost a bet that obliged him to walk down Massachusetts Street at high noon wearing a large papier-mâché pig head.
And did he do this?
I walked about 10 feet behind him to make sure that he did. Yeah. It was a moment of gross humiliation that went straight into the Bourgeois Pig Hall of Fame.
What do you think of this changing of the guard, going from Russell and Charlie, who built it up, and now handing it off to some local entrepreneurs?
I think it's great. I think I loved Russell and Charlie. I think they're downtown heroes. Charlie's been in the hospitality business for many, many years, years before he had the Pig. Here, Russell and Charlie really put together something special, a place that has a really distinctive identity and a loyal clientele. And I think that it's really cool that the bar has been purchased by members of that clientele who know the place. It's not a corporate move. Ryan and Ed and the guys, they know downtown. They know everybody who hangs out down here. They're very, very cool people. And I think it's pretty clear that the regulars, by and large, think this is a great thing.
Mm-hmm.